بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. والجن تهتف والأنوار ساطعة، والحق يظهر من معنى ومن كلمة، عموا وصموا فإعلان البشائر لم تسمع، وبارقة الإنذار لم تشم. من بعد ما أخبر الأقوام كاهنهم بأن دينهم المعوج لم يقم، وبعدما عاينوا في الأفق من شهب منقضة وفق ما في الأرض من صنم. Again, these are all the things that were happening around the world before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam became the Prophet. Some of these things happened when he was born, and the other things happened when he became a Prophet and a Messenger. So in this one, the author is saying that the jinn called out. So the jinn were telling the people what they had seen, what had happened to them. Lights shone dazzling. Truth was made manifest in word and in fact. So the truth was made very clear. However, people remained blind and deaf. So the good news announced went unheard, while the lightning flash of warning went unseen. So people remained deaf and blind, even though everything was so clear. And the good news that was announced, it was unheard. And the lightning flash of warnings, nobody saw them, even though they were so clear. And then he says, this even though the diviners had advised their people that their crooked religion could no longer stand. The people they used to trust, the diviners, fortune tellers, they told their people that your crooked religions will not be able to stand. But they didn't listen to them. And even though their eyes beheld on the horizon great meteors falling as idols toppled on earth. So these are all big, big, major signs, but unfortunately they did not take heed. So what we're going to do is والجن تهطف والأنوار ساطعة, which is number 65. We're going to cover that in detail next week because it's very long discussion on there. We're going to move on to the next two, which is from 66, 67 and 68. So in that one he's saying that the people remained blind and deaf. People remained blind and deaf. One very interesting thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, people forgot themselves, so Allah forgot them. People forgot themselves, فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ نَسَوْا, they forgot Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget themselves. Now how do you understand that? The reason why we forget ourselves is nobody forgets themselves, but they forget their real self that will continue until the hereafter. Everybody is focused on the self that is going to eventually end, which is our physical self, and our desires and our inside pleasures and lowly desires. People focus on that in the world. They forget their self, which is going into the hereafter and will remain after Qiyamah and will go to Jannah or Jahannam. So when people forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah makes them forget themselves. Their part of themselves which is supposed to matter and which is supposed to be for the hereafter. So if people remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being concerned about their good and bad deeds, by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dhikr, in reciting, in just focusing on Him, then He will make sure that they stay more focused. So it has to start from ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this many times in the Quran. They forget themselves, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget them. They forgot Allah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget themselves. So now, in this case, this is a similar kind of thing. People are seeing these great, great signs. We've spoken about some of these signs. We may speak about some more. All of these signs were very clear. Because what human beings do is that they take these signs and then they forget about them after a few days. Or they think that these signs don't matter to them, they matter to somebody else. So unless something happens to us directly, we don't tend to be concerned too much. That would depend on how much concern we have in the first place. Sometimes even if something happens to us directly, sometimes we take heed and other times we justify it and we say, oh, it's just accidental. Nothing is accidental in this world. A musibat is a musibat, it hits the mark. So people, amu wa sammu, summun bukmun umyun, it's like that. They became blind and they became deaf. فَإِعْلَانُ الْبَشَائِرِ So all the good news of the Prophet ﷺ's coming, all the announcements, لَمْ تُسْمَعْ They were not being heard. وَبَارِقَةُ الْإِنْذَارِ And the clear-cut warnings, لَمْ تُشَمِي Were not being seen. That's what he's saying here. So basically what he's saying is that the kuffar, the disbelievers, did not benefit from their ears and hearing that Allah has given them. Despite the fact that they heard that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they heard about him from the soothsayers and the diviners of their time. That there is a man who's going to come. He's going to be among these people and that people, which I'll go on to explain. For example, there was Saif ibn Dhi Yazan. He foretold about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was the dream of Mubadhan. There was Shiq and Sutayh, who told very clearly what was going to happen, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to come and he's a true prophet. But people refused to believe, people refused to take heed. Even though they used to trust in these people, they used to trust in such people, and these people were now telling them something, but because it made them change, or made them have to give up many things that they used to do, they didn't want to change. So even though these people were trusted according to them, they acted like they were deaf and they were blind. They acted like that even though they weren't. So despite all of these major proofs and evidences and signs that they saw, and these clear indications, and all of these extraordinary miracles that was on a cosmic level in the heavens, they did not take it. They did not take heed. So they did not benefit from their ears or their sight. So that's why the poet is saying it was as though they're blind. So though they were not blind, because they're not using, somebody's got money, he doesn't use it. So he doesn't seem like he's got money. Imam Abu Hanifa told somebody he gave him some money and he said, I want you to get some better clothing. So the person said, I've got money. So he said, then why do you dress in a way that makes people sorry for you and want them to help you? It makes them want to help you. So it's that kind of a situation here. They're not using their sight, they're not using their ears. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the same thing about the kuffar in the Quran. Summun bukmun umyun. Even though they can hear, they're not blind, they're not deaf, they can speak, they're not dumb, but they make themselves like that because they don't do it for the things that matter. So they stayed on their kufr. They remained kafir. They did not take heed. And these signs, as he says, were like lightning. Nobody misses lightning. Even if you're not looking at it, and you're looking the other way, you can still see a flash. So despite all of these signs being like that, they were not something that just a few people spoke about. They were major signs that people saw, which we'll be discussing next week. Inshallah, these signs, and some today as well. When you don't see that, it means you're blind. What are you going to say to somebody? Oh, you say to somebody, didn't you see that lightning yesterday? 2 days ago there was lightning. Which lightning are you talking about? Where do you live? So it's that kind of a situation. Then he says, مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَخْبَرَ الْأَقْوَامَ كَاهِنُهُمْ بِأَنَّ دِينَهُمُ الْمُعْوَجْ لَمْ يَقُمِ. This is despite the fact and after that people were told by their soothsayers. These were the people that people used to listen to. Their diviners, fortune tellers. People used to listen to these people. They used to trust in them. So they were told by such people that their deen, which was crooked, is not going to be able to continue and stand. And وَبَعْدَمَا عَايَنُوا فِي الْأُفُقِ مِنْ شُهُبٍ. Another thing that they saw was that they saw shooting stars. They saw in the horizons شُهُبٍ مُنْفَضَّةٍ وِفْكَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ صَنَمِ. They saw shooting stars, and they also saw idols toppled on the earth. So in the heavens they saw signs, and on the earth they saw signs, but they still did not take heed. So what exactly happened here? So after the truth was revealed and the matter was made very clear, both verbally by their diviners informing clearly, and also by the state of affairs around the world and different extraordinary things happening that never happened before. So verbally, their people, their trusted soothsayers, they told them that your religion has got problems. It's not going to be able to carry on. Another deen and religion will come which will push this back and it will end. That there is a deen of a prophet that is to come, that is clear cut, straight, correct, and it will stay on forever. So they were told these things very clearly. Then, in terms of what they saw, which we already mentioned, they saw it was like the stars were shooting from one place to the other. And, you know, they had contact with the jinn. So the jinn were saying that the shooting stars, they attack us, so we can't go up there anymore to listen. So all of these were signs. Another thing that they saw was that their idols were being toppled. This was obviously, this happened not at the Prophethood, this happened when the Prophet ﷺ was born, which we mentioned already before. But the shooting stars that happened at the time that the Prophet ﷺ was given prophecy, not before that. So in his 40th year, this is when this started happening. But the Arabs, they didn't care. They did not listen. It's related from Abu Ja'far al-Uqaydi. He relates from Lahab ibn Malik, who says that once I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Lahab ibn Malik says that I was once with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I mentioned the Quran, the soothsayers and diviners, the fortune tellers. And he said to me, I said, by my father and my mother, may they be sacrificed for you, we are the first people to realize. We are the first people to realize that the heavens are now going to be protected. And the shayateen are going to be fired at. They're no longer going to be able to go up there and listen to what the angels are speaking about and come back and tell people and give them these ideas of what is going to happen in the future. So he said, the reason why we found out first is because once we went to a kahin, a soothsayer, whose name was Khatar ibn Malik. So he's trying to tell the Prophet ﷺ that we were the first people to find out of the humans, we were the first people to find out that this is happening up there. Because he said, once we went to a kahin whose name was Khatar ibn Malik, he was a very old man, 280 years old, and he was considered to be the most knowledgeable of the soothsayers. So he was one of the top soothsayers of the time. We said to him, oh Khatal, do you know, have you any knowledge of what's happening with these stars that are being seen shooting around from here there? Because you know, you could see this kind of light which you would say it's a star. It wasn't a star, but it looks like a star, shooting from one place to the other. What's going on? What is all this activity? All these fireworks, essentially. Because we're very frightened, and we have big fear that something bad is going to happen. That's why this is happening. Because, you know, for them, any of these strange signs, it just made it, and anybody would be frightened that something frightening is happening. So he told him, Khatal said, come to me at Sihri time. Come to me in the middle of the night, and I'll tell you whether it's good or bad. I'll check it out and I'll let you know. We'll see it together and I'll let you know whether it's a matter to be warned about, to be frightened of, or what's the situation. So we went away that day. We returned. The next day at night time, we went to him. He was there standing on his feet, looking at the heavens with his eyes. We called on to him, oh Khatal, Khatal, because you know it's dark, Khatal, Khatal. And he immediately, as he saw us, he told us that stop, let me concentrate. So we stopped. And suddenly there was a very large light star that he could see moving. So the soothsayer, the Khatal, he began to scream loudly, saying, Asabahu Isaba, it's hit him. That's what he said. Khamarahu Iqabahu. So he's very poetic as well. He says, Asabahu Isabatan, Khamarahu Iqabahu, Ajalahu Azabuhu, Ahrakahu Shihabuhu, Zailahu Jawabuhu, Ya Waylah, Mahaluhu Bil. Bilbala, a'wadahu qubalatun taqatta'at hibaluhu wa ghayyarat ahwaluhu. So he said all of these things. Essentially what he's saying is that it's hit the mark. It's burnt him. It's given him an answer. Oh, so what destruction? What's going to happen to him? His state is all changed now. Then, after that, he stopped for a while. And then he turned around to us and he said, Ya Bani Qahtan, Ya Ma'shara Bani Qahtan, Ukhbirukum bil haqqi wal bayan, Uksimu bil ka'bati wal arkan, Wal balad al mu'tamin as saddan, Liman'i sam'i uta'atul jan, Bithaqibin bikaffi dhi sultan, Min ajli mab'uthin azim shan, يبعث بالتنزيل والقرآن وبالهدى وفاصل الفرقان يمنع من عبادة الأوثان. So he's very poetic. So he says, O group of the Banu Qahtan tribe, O group of Banu Qahtan, I'm going to tell you the truth and I'm going to make it very clear. I swear by the Kaaba and the Arkan and the pillars and the city, which is a city of peace, and the two sides of it are peaceful, that the tyrannical jinn have been prevented from listening by these shooting stars at the hands of the one who has power, because of somebody who has been sent, who is of very high level, somebody of very high nobility. He has been just sent as a prophet, and that's why this has happened. He has been sent with the revealed and the Quran. He's been sent with the revelation and the Quran, with guidance and the fasil al-furqan and the criterion of absolute truth that distinguishes between good and bad. He prevents and prohibits from worshipping idols. So this is very clear. This is very clear coming from the highest level of soothsayer, the highest level soothsayer. So we told him, O Khatal, فَمَا نَزَلَ لِقَوْمِكَ, what's happened to your people? He says, أَرَى لِقَوْمِي مَا أَرَى لِنَفْسِي أَن يَتَّبِعُوا خَيْرَ نَبِيِّ الْإِنسَانِ وَبُرْهَانُهُ مِثْلَ شَعْلِ الشَّمْسِ يُبْعَثُ فِي مَكَّةَ دَارِ الْحِمَى يَحْكُمُ بِالتَّنْزِيلِ غَيْرَ اللَّبْسِ. He said, what I think, basically they were asking that, what do you think your people should do? Because he's just told them what's happened up there. So now they're asking him, what advice would you give to your people? What should they do? So he says that, I think they should do what I see for myself, that they should follow this, the best of the prophets of mankind, whose proofs are similar to the rays of the sun, who has been sent in Makkah, which is a place of protection. And he commands with a revelation that has no confusion. So we said to him, Khatal, tell us more about him. Which tribe is he from? Which of the Qurayshi tribes is he from? So then he said, وَالْحَيَاةُ وَالْعَيْشِ إِنَّهُ لَمِنْ قُرَيْشِ مَا فِي حِلْمِهِ طَيْشِ وَلَا فِي خَلْقِهِ هَيْشِ يَكُونُ فِي جَيْشِ وَأَيُّ جَيْشِ مِنْ آلِ كَحْطَانِ وَآلِ أَيْشِ. So he was a bit of a poet as well. He said, by life and by living, he is from the Quraysh. And he is so forbearing that he has no sharpness to him. And he has no defect in his creation. And he will be in an army. And what an army! From Alu Qahtan and Al so-and-so. From the family of Qahtan and from family so-and-so. So then we said to him that we need more information. بَيِّنْ لَنَا مِنْ أَيِّ قُرَيْشٍ هُوَ. Exactly which sub-branch of the Quraysh is he from? Because the Quraysh was a very big family. فَقَالَ وَالْبَيْتُ ذِي الدَّعَائِمِ والدير والحمائم إنه لمن نجل هاشم من معشر أكارم يبعث بالملاحم وقتل كل ظالم. He is from a house of pillars and temples and protected areas. He is from the family of Hashim. So Hashim is a subcategory of the Banu, of the Quraysh in general. So he's from the Banu Hashim, and he is from very noble. From a very noble group who have been sent and can go to war and who can kill all the oppressors. And then he said, هَذَا هُوَ الْبَيَانِ. This is the clear exposition of what's happening. Why the heavens are the way they are and why you've got all of these shooting stars. This is the clear bayan. Who told me? أَخْبَرَنِي بِهِ رَئِيسُ الْجَانِ. The leader of the jinn has told me this. Then he said, Allahu Akbar, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَظَهْرُ وَانْقَطَعَ عَنِ الْجِنِّ الْخَبَرُ. Then he said, Allah is the greatest. The truth has come and become manifest. And the jinn, now they can no longer gain news from the heavens. Because they used to go up and they used to listen. Now they can't gain any news from the heavens. ثُمَّ سَكَتَ وَغُشِيَ عَلَيْهِ. Then he became quiet and he fell unconscious. This was quite terrifying. It was something that had never happened before. So for him, after he explained all of this, after he was told and then he explained to this group of people, he became silent and he actually fell unconscious. Only after 3 days did he come back to consciousness, and then he said, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. There is no God except Allah. So now, when Lahab ibn Malik, who's the one who this incident, who had this exchange with this kahin called Khatal, he was explaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at this point of the story, when he mentioned this part to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, glorified be Allah. لَقَدْ نَطَقَ عَنْ مِثْلِ نُبُوَّةٍ وَاللَّهِ لَيُبْعَثْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أُمَّةٌ وَحْدَهُ. That he has spoken like the words of prophecy, and he will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment as a ummah. Because he wasn't part of any millah at that time, but he was a believer because he saw what had happened. Now, why are there shooting stars? And the reason for that is, until then, the shaitans used to go up, the jinn, used to go up on top of each other, up to the heavens, and they used to listen to the angels. And then they used to pass this information down, and then those of the jinn who had contact with humans, they would give them some of this information and mix it with some other things, because the story would have been modified by the time it got to them. So these people who used to be from the humans, the Quran, the Kahineen, they were taken because they had some aspect of information that nobody else had, taking it from the jinn. They were well respected and listened to. So all of this information is actually coming through them anyway. Now the thing is that because people had so much trust on them, when the Quran started to be revealed and the Prophet ﷺ started to get revelation, you couldn't have two sources and get confusion. Because people already had a lot of respect for these kahineen. So if the Quran was being revealed and they were also still providing information, there's going to be a lot of confusion for the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted it that that stream of information stopped completely, because it wasn't proper information anyway. It was misleading. Half truth, half bad, half good, you know. So He wanted that to totally stop. So that's why now the jinns were being fired at, the shayateen were being fired at, so they could no longer gain that information. And that was made very clear on the earth, that no longer are they being given, because they could see all this activity. So that activity and the firing that was going on in the heavens, people were seeing it, and then they found out why that was happening. So then they realized that, okay, now no longer we can get any information from there. That's what it is. So he wanted a clear cut that what the Prophet ﷺ is receiving, that is clear cut, that's what it is. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran, إِنَّا زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِزِينَةٍ الْكَوَاكِبِ وَحِفْظًا مِّن كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ مَارِدٍ. He mentioned it very clear in the Quran that no longer that source is available, because we have adorned the heavens of the dunya, because that's the first heaven where the stars are. We have adorned the heavens of the earth with the adornment of stars, and as a source of protection from every evil shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says more clearly, قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. And it goes on, he says, say, O Prophet, that it has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn were listening. And they said that we have heard a wondrous Quran, an amazing Quran that guides towards the truth. And it carries on that we believed in it and so on and so forth. وَأَنَّا كُنَّا. And then the jinns themselves said, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَأَنَّا كُنَّا نَقْعُدُ فِيهَا مِنْهَا مَقَاعِدَ لِلسَّمْعِ فَمَنْ يَسْتَمِعِ الْآنَ يَجِدْ لَهُ شِهَابًا رَصَدًا. And we used to sit in special places to eavesdrop and listen. We used to have special places where we would go and climb up to be able to listen to the heavens. But whoever listens now, he finds that he is being shot at by a shihab, by this shooting star. So that was told to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was made very clear that there's no longer, jinn are no longer going to be able to get this information. If there's going to be any revealed information, it's going to be directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to a group of the Ansar, he asked them, what do you think of these shooting stars? They said, Ya Nabi Allah, when we used to see them, we used to say that the reason why there's a shooting star before, because sometimes you get them as a phenomenon. It wasn't that much activity before, but sometimes you would see them. He said, we used to think that that happens because some king has died somewhere, or some king has been born, some important person has been born, or somebody died, or some major thing happened. So they used to try to connect the two together. So for example, when Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, passed away, there was an eclipse. So the people tried to connect it together. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately told them that, look, the sun and the moon, they don't eclipse for anybody. They've got their own thing, they do their own thing. They don't eclipse because of this. That's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that. Now today, if somebody dies, as famous as he may be, and you have thunder or rain or something like that, then what right do they have to make that connection? So and so died, and there was thunder, or there was this, there was that. Okay, you can, you know, that he needs to look at that. How can you say that about these things? When the Prophet ﷺ dispelled the idea, it's not to say that nothing can happen. There's a possibility, but it's just you need to be careful about these things. So then, that's the way they used to understand these shooting stars. So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Laysa kadhalik." That's not how it is. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كَانَ إِذَا قَضَى فِي خَلْقِهِ أَمْرًا سَمِعَهُ حَمَلَةُ الْعَرْشِ. It's very interesting. He says that no, what used to happen was this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to decree that something happen, it was decreed and it was told to the close angels. The angels that are the bearing the arsh, the carrying the arsh, they used to learn about this. So they used to start making tasbih. When they start making tasbih, the angels under them, they start making tasbih as well. Something's happened, so they're making tasbih as well. So when they're heard making tasbih, the people who are the angels who are under them are making tasbih as well. And it goes on all the way until the angels who are on the first heaven, they're also making tasbih. So they're all making tasbih now because of this special event that's going to happen. Now, finally, somebody decides to ask of the angels. One of the angels says, "Why are you making tasbih for?" First they make tasbih. They say, "Mimma sabbahtu." Why are you making tasbih? So the lower ones are asking the ones above them, "Why are you making tasbih?" Because the ones above us are making tasbih. That's why we're making tasbih. So can you ask them why they're making tasbih? So they ask the ones at the top. And they're saying, "Well, it's because those guys." So can you find out, please? So he goes on all the way up to the heavens, up to the top, to the bearers of the arsh. So when they ask, they said, "Oh, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered and decreed this special thing to happen in the creation. So we made tasbih." So they eventually all find out. So this discussion is taking place in the heavens. This news eventually gets to the bottom again, to the lowest heaven. And now they start talking about this decree. Allah's going to send a prophet, or Allah sent a prophet, or whatever it is. That is what the shaitans used to listen to. Because the shaitans used to, the jinn used to climb on one on top of the other until they get to that first heaven, and they can hear this first heaven angel speaking. So they're catching glimpse of that, they're catching some parts of that. And then they're informing their soothsayers, who have some contact with them, that this is what we heard, this is the news we've got. Some of it is true and some of it is not, because by the time it gets down, jinn have a very huge imagination. That's why you can never trust the jinn. They can't tell you the exact story, they always make an imaginary aspect of it. So when the Quran started to be revealed and the Prophet ﷺ became a prophet, this was stopped. No longer could they go up and listen to the angels now. It was soundproofed. And they were not soundproof, but they was hit. They were hit by the shooting stars. So now the question. Now this is not necessarily agreed upon. Many of the ulama would say that this is still the case, that they still can't go up. So from that day it stopped, and it's still the same thing, that the jinn cannot listen. However, there's another opinion of some other ulama. What they say is that no, today that's not the case anymore. This was only while the Quran was being revealed, just to make sure that there's no confusion with the Quran. After that, they were allowed to go back up and listen. So that's why today you still have people who are doing this soothsaying. So I mean, it's a possible opinion. So today the jinn can still listen if they want to. In fact, it says that now they do it even more than before, according to some ulama. And the other thing is that it's not stars that are shooting. That's what the ulama say. It's something that comes from there. And of course the astronomers will tell you what it is. what exactly a shooting star is made of. So I think that's all we'll do today. اللهم انت السلام انك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا اله الا انت سبحانك انا كنا من الظالمين اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم والله accept our du'as on this Jumu'ah. This could be the sa'atul ijaba. This could be the moment of acceptance. So we ask that You give us the best of what your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked you for, and you protect us from all the evil that your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge in you from. Oh Allah, we ask that you protect us from the shayateen. Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us tawfiq to do all the good deeds all the time. Oh Allah, that is our desire to do good all the time. So we ask that you give us the ability to do good all the time, and you make good beloved to our hearts so that we want to do the khair and the virtue, and we want to be righteous. Oh Allah, you make that beloved and close in our hearts and never leave our hearts. Oh Allah, keep your nur coming into our hearts so that we always do the good and we want to do your tasbih. Oh Allah, allow us never to forget you. Oh Allah, allow us never to forget you and always to remember you. Oh Allah, in whatever shape or form that is, we ask that you give us the tawfiq to do your dhikr and remembrance. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us the ability to find good company. Oh Allah, without good company, then we lose because we are very easily influenced. Oh Allah, we ask that you always give us tawfiq to sit in masajid and in company of the pious and the righteous. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us sincerity and you remove the hypocrisy from our heart and you remove the evil of our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our actions. Oh Allah, we ask that you treat us with your mercy despite our sinful nature. Oh Allah, we ask that you grant us your rahmah and your mercy and you forgive us all of our sins despite the darknesses of our heart. Oh Allah, we're asking you despite the fact that we're immersed in sins. But Allah, oh Allah, we ask that you treat us in the best of manners. Oh Allah, we ask that you treat us despite the fact that we're not worthy of it. We ask that you give us ease in this world and especially in the next world. Oh Allah, we ask that you give us tawfiq to do the things that are helpful for us to invest in the hereafter. That you protect us and our parents and our children and our family and all the Muslimin around the world. Oh Allah, we ask that you accept whatever small amounts that we do, but accept it fully from us, despite their defects and its defects. Oh Allah, the month of Ramadan is coming. We ask that you grant us blessing during these months, and especially during the month of Ramadan. You allow us to do better in this Ramadan than we've ever done before. Oh Allah, you make this Ramadan the best Ramadan we've had until now. We make it a source of closeness to you. You make it a source of barakah and nur and light for the months that will come, for the year that will come after it. Oh Allah, we ask that you accept our du'as and you shower us with your mercy that is constantly flowing everywhere. Oh Allah, you forgive us in the fullest of manner and you treat us like your awliya even though we're not. Oh Allah, that you grant us Jannatul Firdaus and the Kalima La Ilaha Illallah on our deathbed. Oh Allah, accept our du'as and send your blessings on Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and make the best of our days the day that we stand in front of you. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله